Well, hey there, come on in. We're just about to start. Welcome to My Wife the Dietitian, a fun weekly podcast about nutrition and healthy lifestyle. I'm Rob, and together with my wife Sandra, we invite you to join us on this informative and entertaining journey through the complex world of healthy eating.
Join us each week as we strive to help you with transforming your overall health and relationship with food through up-to-date, evidence-based nutrition information. Do you struggle with starting new routines to improve your health? It's challenging getting across that bridge from where you are to where you want to be. Listen in to our guest expert on positive approaches to health with dietitian Tony Toledo.
What we do know is that it is not a straight line. It is not kind of like, you know, A to B to C and then, you know, at Z we're done, check out. Along the way, there are things that happen that are part of life, that habits fall apart, routines crumble, and we need to be ready to pick up, dust off, and move forward.
Stay with us.
Enjoying the show? You can help others find it and enjoy it too by giving us a 5-star rating or review. If you feel like reaching out to us with a question or comment, you can send us an email at mywifetherd@gmail.com. And don't forget to visit our website at mywifethedietitian.com, as well as our social media pages. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Enjoy the show. Welcome to My Wife the Dietitian. Hello, Sandra.
Hi, Rob.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good, good. We're interviewing Tony Toledo, dietitian, today.
Ah.
And she runs a podcast called Path, Positive Approaches to Health.
Okay, yeah.
And she has been practicing as a dietitian for many years and has so much information and a wealth of knowledge all about behavior change and helping people over that bridge to where they are and where they know they want to go.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Well, that's sounds like some pretty useful information for everybody in any situation, really. Not just food and nutrition, but so many health goals, I guess, require that kind of, the things that Tony teaches.
Yeah, the behavior change model. And it is. It's hard to get into new routines, new daily habits that are positive for your health and help you get to where you want to go with your goals. And, you know, with lifestyle, there's sleeping, there's exercise, there's diet, there's possible habits that you might want to reduce somehow to improve your health.
Right, right.
So this can apply to so many people in so many different situations. All of us, really.
Yeah, for sure. Right on. Well, that'll be great to talk to her and hear everything that she has to say. So let's bring on Tony.
All right. We're here today with Tony Toledo. And Tony, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's such a pleasure to connect. And we'd love for you to let our audience know a little bit about yourself and who you support in your work.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much for having me. I know you've been very patient and waiting for this to actually take place. So I want to give you a big, big warm thank you for that, because I love this kind of thing. And considering that I like you two, work in the podcast world, it's super fun to be on this side of the mic, so to speak. I live in the San Francisco Bay Area of California, and I've been working in the field of nutrition and health promotion for 33 years or something nuts like that.
Wow.
How is that possible? And I can't foresee. In fact, this is a tangent, but I live on a street where several of my friends that are my age are all retiring. And I'm like, how could we retire? Like, there's so much to do.
Yes, that's right. How I feel. I totally feel the same way, Tony. Like, I definitely, when people say, oh, so when are you thinking of retiring? I'm like, what? I don't ever want to retire. I love what I do.
Yeah,
so I love that you said that.
How lucky are we? How lucky are we that we can say that? And I sometimes, truth be told, I don't even utter that out loud to most people except my, you know, my collaboration conspirators, you know, my friends I work with and colleagues, because I almost feel a little, it feels boastful almost to say that, but I'm super stoked that that's how I feel about our work and the endless possibilities of things to do in our field. So, and you know, thinking about what I've done, I've kind of bounced around a whole lot. You know, I've worked in public health a lot. I have done research. I worked at Stanford. I worked at the University of Minnesota. A lot of kind of boots on the ground, direct service type of work, which I also love because I'm a behavior change junkie and I love working face-to-face with clients. But I currently am an adjunct instructor at San Jose State, and I am a nutrition care manager for a medically tailored meals program called Teen Kitchen Project. And yeah, I mean, I went to school here in California at Cal Poly, San Luis Obispo, and my oldest is there in his senior year, which is nuts. I don't know how that's possible either. let's see, I did my internship in Chicago and did my master's in Minnesota. So you can kind of tell even just by that, I like to bounce around. I live for travel and meeting people. And one thing that I really am proud of that I do that I want to put out there to other people in our field is I started to act as a peer reviewer for Ascend about 6 years ago, I suppose. And Sandra, you might be interested in this because it is an interesting way when you've put in a lot of time in the field to be able to go out to our places of learning, our institutions that are training future nutrition professionals to make sure they're meeting all of the standards for the future education of all of our up and coming dietitians and nutrition professionals. So it's a volunteer job, but it is so rewarding. And they always need people that are academics as well as practitioners. So earlier before we hit record, we were talking about travel. This is a really interesting way to travel all around the United States and even internationally, helping our profession, which is kind of neat, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. What's it called? Ascend?
Ascend, yeah. And
it stands for
Accreditation Council for Education and Nutrition and Dietetics. And if anyone's interested, I'm sure you'll have all my deets available. I like to stand at the top of a mountain and encourage people to consider it.
Cool. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. That is so interesting. And what a diverse background you have, just so much variety. And I really love that you've done a lot of work on behavior change. And I heard you on another podcast where you were a guest, and there was some metaphor that you talked about, a bridge, and the fact that, you know, so many of us are creatures of habit, and we, you know, establish habits into routines, like our daily habits. And a lot of times those aren't real great habits that we fall into or that we do over and over again. And this can really lead to health outcomes. And you had a great metaphor about a bridge, about getting from the knowing what I need to do and actually doing it, because that is such a hard piece of the puzzle. Like when I'm counseling clients about changing their diet or changing their exercise or their lifestyle, their sleeping habits, all the different lifestyle changes that we can do and that we recommend and that we can help people with, that whole part about actually doing it and putting it into practice is the hardest part. And I'm just wondering if you could describe that concept in like a similar way that you did on that other podcast. I can't remember what it was, but
I can't remember either, but I use that example a lot, and it's very powerful imagery. And it's interesting because, you know, we talk so much about the why and how important the why is for behavior change and motivation, all the good stuff, right? And then it's the how that's where the rubber hits the road. And the how is the grueling part many times, right? The how is where you are ruling out things that don't work and picking up things that do work along the way and sort of slogging through. So it's not sexy at all. And I think that's a big issue in our field and in the world of health and wellness is that everyone wants the magic pill. You know, everyone wants the quick fix. And what we know, I mean, Sandra, you and I, especially living in this field, working in this field, is that the nuts and bolts of it are in the trial and error and the skill building, ultimately leading to habits and routines. And you're so right. It's like this slippery slope that habits can just be things that are entrenched and unsupportive and almost unconsciously done. They just become fabrics to kind of who we are. And it can seem so daunting to try to unravel those unsupportive behaviors and lay out new ones. And so the imagery of that bridge, going back to that, to me, it's not even a fully built bridge, the one I see in my mind. It's one where like one plank, you know, like on those competition shows where they have to build the bridge, like Survivor or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
One plank at a time, and it's all wobbly, and, you know, sometimes they fall off. And that's the bridge I see for habit change and routines and lifestyles. Because on one side, here's where we are, and on the other side is where we want to be. And the other thing that doesn't serve us well is thinking that once you hit that other side, it's over. You know, the habits, the routines, we want to translate them into lifestyle, which involves so much integration and so little ego. If you think about it.
That's true. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, is there an example? Like, for instance, say someone's trying to become a non-smoker after 25 years of smoking. I'm just using this as an example. I know it's not a dietary example, but it does fit into the lifestyle and health risk. And yeah. And in one of the groups I did, it was a smoking cessation class. And it was like a 6-week or 8-week program. And yeah, it was just, it's a behavior change. It's really hard. What is like using that bridge as an example?
Yeah. So it's funny you're saying that example. And I do love that the behavior change concepts apply to so many different lifestyle habits. And one of my favorite things to pull from is Prochaska and DiClemente's Stages of Change. And I will be honest, when I think that's where my super crazy obsession with behavior change kicked in, because I was sort of straddling at the time. I was working at Stanford, and we were doing a lot of motivational interviewing and working at developing programs for behavior change. And Prochaska and DiClemente with Stages of Change came across my desk, and it could have been a best-selling novel as far as I was concerned. Because
totally. Yes. I love that.
Yeah. I mean, they're amazing. They're amazing. It's amazing.
Because it just makes so much sense.
What I think about is, you know, that work really was coming out of the addiction world in drug addiction, smoking cessation, et cetera. And what I love so much about the Stages of Change is the acknowledgement that you don't just go from like, oh, I'm smoking, I should stop because it's not good for me, I'm going to stop. You know, there's all sort of the pre-contemplation, contemplation, you know, action, you know, all those like steps along the way that to me translate into also those slats on the bridge. And so, you know, increasing awareness, bringing focus to the why is this important? What are the risks involved? Sort of the weighing out of the pros and cons, and then acknowledging it's okay to sit in that for a while and then start to weigh out, you know, what is it that I want to achieve? Well, in this case, I want to stop smoking, and I have the rationale and the motivation for why. What are some of the hows? And that could be, you know, establishing small goals, you know, and it may be for some people that they just try to delay the starting of having their first cigarette until later in the day, you know? So it could be something as simple as that and looking at, oh my God, instead of getting up and having my coffee and cigarette first thing, I'm going to have my coffee on its own and sort of give myself time, you know, to kind of build some sort of trust and also be aware of sort of decoupling, you know, those bundled behaviors that are often, you know, entrenched in one another. And so, you know, again, picking something super small to do that is progress and heightening awareness. So you say, oh my goodness, you know what? This is not a binary thing. I'm not going to go from smoking a pack a day to not smoking. you know, most people, how am I going to step down from that? And so you could be, you know, identifying small ways to do that and then, you know, increasing incrementally, whether that's, again, and I don't work in the smoking cessation world, but I'm sort of translating that. But if you were thinking about even like if that happened to be eating more fruits and vegetables, it could be something like, you know, make sure I make a grocery list and then I get to the grocery and I get those veg and then I, you know, work on starting to prep them more often. And then I, you know, set some goals around one piece of veg at every meal. And then, you know, so you're kind of building up as you go, but small incremental improvements, setting up an environment that supports that, you know, and some infrastructure around that and identifying habit loops and things like that. So kind of heightening awareness, utilizing different techniques and being okay with saying, wow, that one wasn't so great for me. What's something else? So kind of constantly seeking other methods, approaches, tips, tactics, and building a toolkit. Because to me, the secret and the success lie in having a big toolkit of things to use for your health promotion that you can wield in different situations. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's kind of...
That makes perfect sense. I'm thinking, you know, I often say with teachers, their job is to teach people, obviously, right? Teaching their students. And if their students are like, oh, I don't get that, it's the teacher's job to pick another tool from their toolkit, like you were saying, to try to teach them in a different way from a different perspective. And that analogy applies to so many different things in life, like any problem that you're trying to solve. If step one or you know, approach one doesn't work, then you don't give up. You don't say, oh, I guess I can't do it. You try something different and you keep trying until something works, and eventually something will work. And then you've learned about all the things that don't work. And then that helps you move on when you try to, you know, have a different problem that you're solving in the future. So like you said, I think having that toolbox full of a variety of different tools is really helpful with these kind of problem solving issues.
Yeah. And I think about, especially when I teach in groups, you know, I one of the main things I try to lay out as a foundation is that, you know, we may be 25 people. My Monday night group is about 20 people. And I invite them at the beginning of every session to just be all ears, all eyes, and open, because life is such that, you know, Rob, you or Sandra might be dealing with something that seems so different than what I'm dealing with or trying to improve upon. And yet the elements are similar and the tactics and the approaches can be very similar. Now they're custom because you're different people than I am, so they may manifest differently, but there's a lot to be learned from just even watching people move through their own habit formation, ups and downs, and the relapses. And, you know, because that's the other thing for me. It's like, what we do know is that it is not a straight line. It is not kind of like, you know, A to B to C, and then, you know, at Z, we're done, check out. Along the way, there are things that happen that are part of life, that habits fall apart, routines crumble, and we need to be ready to pick up, dust off, and move forward. That's why earlier I said the ego piece, because along with, you know, a solid ego, you know, you've got grit, which plays a big part in this, as well as a sense of humor, right? Because truth be told, some of the stuff that happens to us, we're like, what? Oh my gosh, now I got to start here again. And it's that, you know, we hear consistency always spoken about, and it is important. But I think more important is persistence, because, you know, we may not be able to be consistent all the time, but persistence is the ability to pick up, dust off, or the willingness to dig deeper into that toolkit and maybe pick something that's at the bottom that you haven't ever used or used in a really long time to use with the situation that you are currently in to help you move forward. Even if it's a half step forward, that momentum is critical when we think about behavior change, just that kind of wind at your back, even if it's a little, you know, wisp.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that totally makes sense. And the whole idea of like, when you are trying to figure out, like, you have to identify what's going on for yourself. It's kind of like when you're on a budget or you're watching your money, you actually start to track it. And that helps in the initial phases of behavior change, where you're actually like taking stock and saying, okay, what am I doing now? What do I want to change? And then from there, it's just a matter of like, you know, the tracking is really helpful for the awareness, like you said, to bring it into the awareness and then to figure out how do I set my goals? Like how, what's the next step? So as you said, it's like the messy middle, the how is the tricky part, right?
Oh, 100%, 100%. And I really like what you're getting at, because I do think that the awareness, or we use on our podcast, we use the word connection a lot, you know, the connection to yourself and really being honest with what is working and where your struggles are, what are your weak spots, your blind sides, and acknowledging them, because in doing so, we're able to modify, plan for, preempt, you know, fortify, whatever we need to do. But if we are blinders on, you know, and just, and I see this, I'm sure you have too, Sandra, with our field, you know, people show up and they're like, Tony, tell me what to do. That's not what this is about. You know, I need to know who you are in front of me, you know, who you see yourself as, what are your strengths, what are the things you want to work on? And then let's try some stuff, you know, because if you're not making the things that you incorporate into your life fit who you are and make them custom, and, you know, again, that all requires awareness and connection, they can be flash in the pan behaviors that the minute things go a little sideways, they slide off like a Teflon pan. They're just gone.
Right. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Like the whole idea of, could you please just like write me out a meal plan and then I'm good. Like I'll be set for life with a meal plan. It's like, and that kind of shows like why diets don't work, because they're just not sustainable. People don't live that way. People are creatures of habit. And to have a set plan, sure, that's fine in the short term because you can follow that easily. You don't have to think about anything else. You just follow it. But then it's just when life gets going and you get bored of the food, or you go on a social, you know, outing and things change and it's like everything falls apart. And then a lot of people are kind of like the all or nothing, you know, like black and white, and okay, I've screwed it up now, I'm going to start again on Monday, or that kind of thinking. And it just, it's really tricky because we talked to Wendy Shaw, of creator of Craving Change, few months ago. Oh gosh, was that ever amazing. It was so good to talk with her. And just because I've been teaching that group locally for probably a decade, and it's such a powerful, like you see the transitions and the transformations for people in their life and just in how they make those small changes. And I think it's the awareness of like realizing that, oh yeah, look at all these factors in our environment that are affecting how I'm living, how I'm eating, why I'm eating, you know, all these different things. And it's just so powerful because it's kind of a different approach to teaching. I think it's instead of like, here's your menu plan, or here's your, you know, diet, just follow this and you'll be fine. It's like, it's a whole like really delving deep in the why, and like, why do we do these things, and why, like, we all do it. Like we're, you know, like it's, yeah. Anyways, behavior change is such a big can of worms, but it's so important in our health in the long term.
Yeah. And it's also like when I was working in direct service I worked in the same place for 20 something years, and I would have still been there had it not closed, because every week I would go to work and every week I learned something new about myself, my clients, or I got to use a new tool, because it is a constantly evolving field. Plus, every human shows up as a unique individual, of course. And that means what strategies you use, what words you use, the approach you take is going to be distinct. And that is never, ever boring, ever, ever.
Yeah, true. True.
Oh my gosh. I'm so in love with both Colleen and Wendy. We had them on our pod, I think last year sometime. We had full crushes on each other. I think we both presented at a conference years ago, and we were like, oh my gosh, like it was the equivalent of seeing someone across the room, you know, even though it was virtual.
Yeah,
that's funny.
I totally get that. I totally understand that because it's such a different approach. And I just, that craving change is, oh, I just love that program. And Colleen is a, she, so Wendy's dietitian and Colleen has a psychology background.
Which is like the peanut butter and chocolate, you know. Yeah.
I like that.
So perfect.
That's awesome. Tony, that is so awesome. We're going to, we should link that, your interview with them in our show notes, just because I think it's just so good for people to hear and just to be aware of what's happening out in the world. And it's just like, oh, there's just such good work being done. It's awesome.
But you know what, as you're speaking, something striking me that I think is worth trying to articulate about Colleen and Wendy's work, because the thing I loved about what they have done and they continue to do is they're almost like the meta version of what we do with our clients, right? They take these big concepts, they blend together the nutrition, the psychology, the behavior change, and they give us a toolkit in the form of the program that allows us then to go out and do this with our clients, right? Whether or not you're using their kit or not. We're doing stuff like that with our clients, trying to help them get the bigger concepts, connect to the rationale, the why, and all that, but then building that toolkit so they can be empowered, inspired, and then sustain and be effective in their behavior change. Does that make sense at all?
Oh, yeah. Totally. I'm shaking my head like crazy here. I know it's all audio. No one can see me, but oh, yes, I totally agree with what everything you're saying there. Absolutely. Oh, my gosh. Just to have that. Yeah. For people to feel empowered that they have the knowledge and they're getting information about why their behaviors, like what they're doing and why, what's driving them. Because it, many of us, we just go on life on autopilot and we don't look at the reasons why. And I think it's so important when we're trying to become healthier or make changes in our daily habits. It's like, it's integral into change. So yeah, no, that behavior change model too, the stages of change is just, when I first heard that too, it just, it was like a huge light bulb. It went off. It's like, oh my gosh, like anything you learn, it's a learning curve, right? It's like that, it's skill building. It's like the information, the learning, and then trying to incorporate that all and to make changes. And it's such a, it can be such an uphill battle, like pushing a boulder uphill if it's so entrenched in your daily habit. So yeah. It's so, oh my gosh, this has been so great. Holy Rob, do you have any questions?
I wanted to add something too, just to, I've just been quietly listening and making some notes here, but I'll add a couple things. One is just, we need to be realistic. Anyone who's making change in their life or trying to accomplish a new goal, we need to be realistic. And I think we're living now with social media and the internet and all these visual sources of, you know, the before and after pic, you know, Instagram's famous for that now, you know, like you've got this like overweight person and then the next picture is like, they're all skinny and healthy. And it's like, okay, well, what happened in between? Like, where's the in-between picture? It's not, you know, people think that, oh, I just do one thing and I can look like that. They don't show all the work that's been done. And so I think that's leading to, like you guys are saying, people coming in going, okay, I need this plan so I can achieve this goal or look this way or feel this way or whatever. You know, it's we've been ingrained to think that it's an instant process and it really isn't. And then the other thing I wanted to add too is when something I've done a lot in my life too is when I'm making changes or trying to make changes is looking back at where you are, like how you got to where you are and all the changes that had to happen to lead to where you are now and the challenges that you overcame. And it just helps you kind of realize that, you know what, it wasn't a straight road. Like you were saying, it's not a straight path. It's a total zigzag from A to B. And just realizing that, I think, can help people understand that, yeah, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be a direct path. I'm going to be detoured from, you know, who knows where. And that's okay. That will eventually lead me to where I want to be if I'm sort of following my gut, following my heart, following all the things that are pulling me forward. So,
there you go. Important. I think those are great add-ins, and I would see those two and raise you one more too that I think is really sort of helpful. And I think looking at the two of your names on my screen, I'd be remiss if I didn't say this. And that is that I think support and partners, buddies, what have you, can be critical. Like the image of the road trip or your health journey. There will be times when, you know, being a solo is part of it, but having company along the way, accountability, perspective. You mentioned perspective just now, Rob, but even just perspective overall, like I know that for many of my clients that sometimes when they're in the doldrums or they've had a setback, and I try to leave it up to my other classmates because they all know each other so well to offer up perspective for that client because it's invaluable. And we're so quick to be, as you mentioned, binary, all in, all out, black or white. I'm either A++ or I'm a failure, right? And really, we live in that middle zone, the gray. And it's sometimes we call our podcast A Beautiful Mess because we realized it is so beautiful, but it is often messy, but it is still something that we enjoy that changed our lives. And for me, habit changes the same way. I mean, whether I'm dealing with injuries or we just got a puppy. So I went from like my, 5:30 run every morning. This is what I do, several days a week. I have my routine to, now we have a puppy. It's like having a newborn. So I had to get my sea legs with a new routine. And that was after years of having a steady, solid routine set up. So routines, are those regular ways we do things that are made up of different habits. And they have this really interesting interrelationship, but they often need to be treated with kid gloves. And we have to be patient, give ourselves grace, and allow for time on task and all of that, just like you would a friend as they were trying to change habits. And I think the last thing I wanted to mention too is that I try, because I love this area so much of behavior change, I try to just look through and listen to things with that filter on. And in doing so, I've received a lot of gifts in the form of support type of perspectives and ways of looking at behavior change from non-behavior change people. So like, for example, of course, I have out in front of me, I've got my desk with all this stuff laid out, but a couple of my favorite books, which I know you both know, and one of them is James Clear's Atomic Habits.
Yep, I have that.
Of course you do. And then actually we had a farm dinner at my Teen Kitchen Project. We have an annual farm dinner. And last year, Charles Duhigg was there, the author of The Power of Habit. And I love his work so much. And when he walked up to the reception table where I was checking people in, you would have thought it was Elvis, right? I was so excited. But his work is really, really important. I was so thrilled that this month's Journal of Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, on front page, Sandra, this is a big deal, use of cognitive and behavioral strategies during a weight loss program. So, I mean, I haven't seen that front and center in a while, so it's exciting. But, I mean, like Adam Grant's work, also supports behavior change in a lot of ways, even though he's looking at it from a workplace standpoint. Rick Rubin's new book, The Creative Act. There are so many other ways that elements that add to behavior change come into your world when you're open to them. So I just kind of want to put that out as an appeal because I think it makes the field even more interesting and it gives us more ways to connect with more people because we have a broader vocabulary and we can create different stories and images that help people cross that bridge.
Absolutely. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Oh my gosh. That is incredible. You touched on so many different themes there. Like first you said the community aspect where you let your students basically support each other because they're peers and they are going through their own difficulties and they can come to the other student through their own lens. I love that. That's just amazing. And then you mentioned about grit and getting back on the horse, like having some resiliency. And that's also something that people need to celebrate, like that type of, you know, feeling that, okay, I can do this. I can do it. This is really hard. The messy middle is really hard, but you can do it. And it's just, it's not a straight line. And, you know, things change and life gets in the way. You get a new puppy. You're not going to be doing your run every day anymore. And, but, you know, having grit and resiliency, like that is a strength that we have to honor and in ourselves and give ourselves grace in those situations and know that it might not be tomorrow. It might not be next week, but eventually, you know, like we can do this. So behavior change can happen. It takes work and it is the messy middle. So as Rob was mentioning, the before and after, you know, photos that you see and like, where's the middle? Like where's the work, like the hard part, the going up the hill, you know, that's what people don't see. So
that's what we need to see more of. Yeah. Just totally. That picture, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Wow. What an amazing talk. And we have a question that we ask all of our guests at near the end of the show here. And I'm kind of thinking I might know what you say, because I've heard you mention this dish in other, but maybe it's different now. So when going to a potluck, what dish would you bring to share?
Oh my goodness. What are you going to say?
I was going to say the meatless meatloaf, because I thought that was the coolest name.
Oh my gosh. First of all, that's hilarious. That is hilarious. And you know, what's funny is the reason why this has been delayed is because of my dad's major health issues, and he is getting better, which is great. He's home from the hospital. He's getting better.
Awesome.
But I think it was 2 days ago, my mom said, "Oh my God, Tony, I haven't made meatless meatloaf in so long." And I was like, believe me, I know, because it's my favorite food in the whole wide world. But I don't share that because I'm too stingy. I'm greedy. And I'm just kidding. It is amazing. If you guys ever come here, I'll make it for you. We'll have it.
Yes, please.
Well,
okay,
we'll come
Robert.
Now.
Yeah, road trip. Yeah, for sure. California, here we go.
Oh, God, it made me crave it. Right now I have to get back on task. What are we talking about? Okay, so I really like, for me, I really like finger foods. So when I go to parties or events, and I use this strategy with my clients a lot, my clients that were working on weight management specifically, was to bring a dish that you know you A, love, B, that you can kind of measure, you know, because they're trying to track and stay more within some, you know, confines calorically for their weight management. Like you can measure a ballpark about what you're working with versus a typical party atmosphere where, you know, the rails, you know, you're off the rails kind of thing. But right. That, you know, taste good, that are supportive and that are pretty. So I have this big blue platter that was my grandmother's that I love. And I like to put different little appetizers, finger food on there. And there's two examples that I find that are easiest and that are surprising to people. One is like a English cucumber, you know, circles. So you make the coins or the rounds, and you can either put a little bit of like hummus, or you could put a nice soft cheese if you'd like, but just a dollop, and then a topper. And that could be whatever you want, an olive, a nut, a cranberry, you know, an herb. But you can almost visualize this little tray here covered in these coins that are pretty to look at with the contrasting colors. And they're just grab and go, right? They're kind of flavor fun because there's a crisp bottom, some sort of creamy, and then either a sweet or a nut. So that's one kind of plug and play option that I like.
I just made pesto. So I'm just thinking I might do that. We have a ton of cucumbers, and then we have this homemade pesto. I might just put a little bit of pesto on it and then an olive on. Oh, I love it. Great idea. Yes. That's perfect for sharing.
Ooh, yes. I never thought of pesto. That's a great one. And the cucumbers, you know, nice stands up to it because it's so simple. I like that. The other one that surprises people, and I sometimes have to nudge them to try it, are the persimmons, the hard persimmons, not those soft gloppy ones, but they're like an apple, and they come around in the winter and they're bright orange, and I slice them up and I put a tiny dollop of like a Alouette or a Boursin cheese, like just, you know, like the size of your pinky fingernail, very small, on top of that. And then a cranberry, or if you have a, you know, like a fresh blueberry or a raisin, something to, again, just top it. And there's this blue platter, these orange cut up, you know, nice crisp fruits, and then this little savory bite, and then a surprise on top. And once people try those, because I sometimes have to encourage them, it's lights out. They're on board. They're wondering where they are at the next party that I go to because it's a surprise.
That's awesome. That's so cool. The colors, that's like our logo, Rob, like the blue background and then the bright orange. Anyways, I love those colors together.
That's funny. It reminds me that little combination. It reminds me of these little things I made for the kids when they were younger. They were called, I called them banana shooters because I thought that was fun adult kind of humor, right? But they were a slice of banana with some peanut butter and a chocolate chip and sometimes a raisin. And I'd just make a plate full of those and they'd be gone in seconds. And kids would come to our house that we've never met before or for the first, we'd know them, come for the first time and they'd be like, can we have banana shooters? Like it's like legend at school that the kids talked about these awesome banana shooters and they'd come and ask for them specifically. So yeah, they're a hit as well.
That's hilarious. And I'm just picturing the playground and like the yard duty hearing, hey, did you try those shooters at the gentleman?
Exactly. My thinking, right? The adults hear that. They'll be like, what? Banana shooters? What do you mean you had banana shooters?
That's awesome, you guys. Aww.
Oh my gosh. That's so funny. Oh, well, thank you so much, Tony. This has been so fun. And what a great breath of fresh air just having you on here and chatting and just all the wisdom that you have. It's just incredible. This has been awesome. But Rob, do you have any other thoughts or any comments?
No, just same as Sandra said, I just appreciate you joining us today and sharing your thoughts and wisdom. And I'm sure everyone will appreciate what you had to say. So thank you.
Well, you guys are a joy. And I do feel almost like I've been a guest in your home without the banana shooters, but almost as good.
Yeah, without the cleanup either, because that's
exactly
always.
Exactly, right?
Yeah, that's a perfect way to do
it. For sure. But this has been so much fun. I really appreciate it. And I just think it's so amazing that you work together on this. It's a beautiful project and I've been honored to be a part of it. So thank you.
No, thanks for joining us. And we'll definitely connect with you again in the future.
Definitely. I'm definitely coming for that meatless meatloaf too.
No doubt.
I better get started.
That's right. Awesome. Thank you so much, Tony. We'll talk to you again.
All right. Thank you.
Wow, wasn't that awesome?
Yeah, she's a wealth of knowledge. Very scholarly sounding too. I don't know if you picked that up, but just sounded like she's been in a
educational.
Yeah, I enjoyed hearing that kind of perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. It's probably part of her research background, and she's a professor who teaches. So
yeah,
plus she's a clinical manager and she works on the front line with people. So
yeah, like great background. It's been a few years since I've been in school, but it sort of brought me back just kind of like that, the language and the how things were being discussed is like, oh, this feels like school.
I know.
In a good way.
Yeah, absolutely. A practical, like hands-on way.
Yeah. 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 Great information.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really good to talk with Tony and we're going to put, there's going to be lots of information in the show notes to check out her own podcast path, the positive approaches to health.
Yeah, it sounds like they've got a neat thing. Her and her podcast partner there, they're either traveling or they're doing like virtual traveling and doing different interviews with people. And I don't know, it sounded kind of like a neat concept. We'll have to dig into that a bit more and it sounded fun.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really cool. It's they have really good, they've been doing it for 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah. It's so good.
Which is forever in the podcast world.
That's long term.
I get that. Yeah. That's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. 5 years. Holy.
Yeah. They've made a lot of connections and collaborations and it's so cool. Like all the work they're doing and helping people and the outreach.
Mm-hmm. For sure. So what do we have coming up next?
We're doing Nutrition Nuggets next on Wednesday, and we're talking about, we're going to actually address a listener question about healthy cookware.
Yeah, it was more of a suggestion, actually. We've got a listener that's been with us since almost the beginning, and she contacted us and just said that, you know, that she'd like a bit more information about that, and can we put something together? So we were glad to do that, and we encourage you all to do that. I know we mention it every week, but yeah, it's great for you to connect with us and get your questions answered, or just give us some ideas, you know. We got lots, but it's always interesting to hear what you guys want to hear about too. So don't be afraid to shoot us an email or connect with us through our various social media pages where you can contact us. So I might as well give you the email address.
What's the email?
Yeah, it's mywifetherd@gmail.com. That's the email. And you check out the website too. That's My Wife the Dietitian. Got lots of cool things coming up on the website on a regular basis. So that's a good one to check back on. It's becoming a wealth of information there. So good stuff there. And the social media too. I took a bit of a hiatus through the summer with posting, but we're back at it. Or we're going to be back at it a bit more often now. So there'll be new things popping up there fairly regularly as well. So check those out. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Awesome, Rob. Well, we'll talk again on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Well, and you and I won't. We'll talk right after this. We live together.
Exactly. All right. Well, thanks for coming out, everyone. We appreciate you guys listening every week. And we will be back Wednesday with our Nutrition Nuggets. So have a great week in the meantime. Thanks for joining us today on My Wife the Dietitian. If you like what you heard, don't be shy. Leave us a comment or review and be sure to share our podcast with your friends. If you'd like to hear more, hit that subscribe button. You can also follow us on our social media pages for updates, episode trailers, and other odds and ends. For more info and links on what we discussed on today's episode, check the show notes. We'll be back next week with another informative and fun-filled episode.